The question of how to make our energy more reliable and affordable is back in focus this week, with the news that Australia met its RET, its renewable energy target, more than a year ahead of schedule. But the rush to develop new solar and wind projects does pose new challenges. Here's Energy Minister Angus Taylor.
In 2018, we were double per capita most other countries around the world in our investment in renewables. That has created a new challenge. Which is we've got real reliability and affordability challenges when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, and that's why it's so crucial we invest in Snowy 2.0. It's why we're investing in the Marinus Link and Battery of the Nation in Tasmania. So these are crucial investments to get the balance in the system, and that is the key now.
And that was Angus Taylor speaking on AM this week. Audrey Siebelman has the job of ensuring there's enough electricity flowing around the system to keep the lights on. Heading into this summer, the chief executive of the Australian Energy Market Operator, or AEMO, has warned there's an increased risk of blackouts, especially in Victoria. Audrey Siebelman, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Hello there. Now, the hitting of that RET target more than a year ahead of schedule is quite something, is it not? But are we on track to get that balance in the system that Minister Angus Taylor is so concerned about?
Well, actually, hitting the RET target is not a surprise to us because, as we've been saying, we're probably one of the fastest growing economies when it comes to the development of wind and solar. But the challenge that we have to have all the time is to make sure that we do have enough dispatchable capability in the system, meaning that when the wind is not blowing and the sun isn't shining, we do have the reserves capability to keep the lights on.
And you are concerned that's not a sure thing, and that the risk of blackouts this summer has grown, and you've been talking about that this week. How worried are you?
Well, we've did a report several weeks ago where we identified that particularly in Victoria this summer and in New South Wales post-Liddell, there is increasing concern around reliability across the summer. But it's not just related to wind and solar, just to be clear. What our concern is to make sure that on average summer days as well as very hot summer days, that the whole portfolio of resources, which are wind and solar and coal and gas, are available at a sufficient ability to meet the demand on those days. And the concern we have is not just the availability of wind and solar, because we anticipate that particularly wind is not going to be available on hot summer afternoons, and of course solar is not available at night. But what we get increasingly concerned about is as our coal plants are getting older and we have less of dispatchable units, that we don't have that complement of capability to make sure that in all hours we're able to keep the lights on.
Yes, but this transition, which is what you've written about, to a new environment, it just seems to be very tricky. I mean, earlier this week, spot electricity prices in Queensland plunged as low as minus $1,000 a megawatt hour on a hot day. Now, I know most people would probably think negative electricity prices are a good thing, but it's certainly not what the operators are saying. And there's a piece in the Financial Review today just saying this is just a whole new ball game, really, and certainly focusing the mind for people who are energy suppliers.
Yes, you're that's correct. So, you know, we in our report, we identified what we think are three areas of critical things that we have to do to get us ready for the future. One is it actually the issue with the reliability standard? How much supply do we need? And supply for us could be both new generation and the ability to harness what we have now at the consumer level in terms of rooftop solar and increasingly storage, but making sure we can manage that and making sure we have the right standard, the adequacy. But the other thing we want to do and we have to do is recognize the importance of dispatchability and make sure that the markets are actually able to pay for that. Today, our markets don't really have a separate price value for the value of dispatchability or the ability to firm. And one area that AEMO is very keen to see get accomplished is to make sure we value that, because that's important for both the existing resources and to send the right incentives for people to invest in resources like storage, like gas, like other plants that can actually provide that level of firming that we need for the system.
So just develop that further, please. How would that be expressed? I mean, how would we, the consumer, and I suppose the governments, understand that?
Well, I think the consumer won't see it. It's just what we pay for in the markets. And how it'll be expressed or how it's expressed in other markets is that there's actually a product that AEMO would buy where we make sure that there's adequate resources in the power system that are able to increase or decrease their output or how much they're consuming when we ask them to.
I see. And then there'd be a premium price effectively loaded. That would be, you know, whatever it's called. I don't know.
Well, what happens and what we expect is as we have more and more resources that provide energy at virtually zero marginal cost, we have another product that actually pays for the energy that is able to firm those variable renewable resources. So it's not necessarily a premium in the sense of a cost. In fact, it could actually drive the cost down because what we're doing is demonstrating the value of firming, but also taking advantage of the fact that we have many resources that can provide energy now at no price at all.
And you just got to define this term firming that you're using again. So what do you mean exactly?
Well, what it means is that when the wind stops blowing, the wind farm can't produce anything. But if we have a resource like a battery or gas-fired plant or coal plant, they, because they have coal, that their fuel is controllable, they can actually produce more when we ask them to. So it's like a portfolio.
Okay, it's just a new verb that I'm getting in my head around.
It's other people call it dispatchability.
Okay. Now, you do also point to this issue of lack of interconnection between the states and the importance, even, for instance, when Snowy Hydro comes online, and something that you wrote recently, you made the point that it may not, which is 2025, I think, it may not necessarily help because there won't necessarily be good inter-transmission abilities, which was quite new for me to understand anyway.
Yeah, so when we think about the power system, you know, generators don't know anything about state boundaries. And what we're looking for is really to create an entire system that can meet the usage needs across the entirety of the national energy market. Sometimes what that could be is because of diversity of weather or time diversity, we might have excess power available, and we do have excess power available in Queensland that can serve the needs of Victoria. What we're missing is the transportation line to get it there. Mm. And so that's where transmission comes in. When you think about electricity, and it's so different than anything else that anyone could imagine, it's truly a real-time product, meaning we have to produce at the same time we consume. But if we can have reserves available to us anywhere in the region, we can get them to where they're needed. We just need to have the right level of transmission to get it there. And so our analysis shows that if we're able to build the transmission system out in the way we've identified in the integrated system plan, we can save up between $1 billion to $4 billion over the alternative, which is to build just generation in every region.
So, I mean, you know, the Reserve Bank's urging the government to bring forward spending on quality infrastructure projects to help support the economy. Maybe there are projects here to bolster the energy grid that you'd like to see brought forward.
Well, in my mind, there's no more important infrastructure we can build than electricity because we can't run the economy without a reliable electric system.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
That's the Chief Executive of the Australian Energy Market Operator, or AEMO, Audrey Zibelman.